Hey, this is Matt Cain with the San Francisco Giants, and you guys are listening to TortureCast.
You're listening to a podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants with hosts Willie Dills, Chad King, and Ben Lee.
Let's go, Giants! SF Giants! Let's go, Giants! SF Giants!
Dedicated to the greatest team in Major League Baseball history, the San Francisco Giants, this is TortureCast.
Welcome to the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the three-time and defending World Series champion San Francisco Giants. I'm your host, Chad King, and I'm joined by someone sitting on the penis of the United States. Yes, live from Florida is Eric Nathanson. How you doing, Eric?
I'm doing all right in America's wang.
I couldn't resist. Oh, and by the way, I got to put in that three-time and defending World Series because we're feeling a little snake bit right now. Wow. I'm not sure about you, but I know I am. We got a lot to talk about. This is our first regular season podcast. The last time we left you, we were doing our season preview. The Giants are now officially 9.5 games into the season, and it started well.
Yeah, it's ugly right now.
They won 3 out of their first 4. Things were looking kind of up there. And here we go, just like we expected. So let's go ahead and bring this little microcosm into what we want to talk about tonight. So the Giants have now lost 5 in a row, and it looks like they're going to lose their 6th tonight. That's kind of where they're heading. So the 3-6, heading for 3-7. The primary culprit, I would say, for all of their losses, besides one, they did give up 10 runs in one game, has been their offense. It's been completely shit balls. In this whole losing streak, they scored 4 runs one time. The rest of the games, they've scored 2-1 or 0. They were 4-for-40 with runners in scoring position coming into tonight. They were 1-for-3 tonight until Blanco just now, right when we started recording, hit a triple with one out. And right away I said, it doesn't matter. They're just going to strand him anyway.
Yeah.
And you said, there's one out. There's one. And what happened? Boom, boom, 2 outs in a row. So now they are 1-for-5 with runners in scoring position tonight.
And one of them was even Aoki, the guy who's getting it done right now.
That's true, and Aoki is. I mean, I'm not going to put blame, you know, squarely on him or anything like that, but that's 5 for their last 45. That's what, 1-for-9? So that's a 1.11 batting average with runners in scoring position in 2015 so far. Eric, that's not going to get it done, man.
It hasn't been. They're showing us that it's not going to get it done. They're not going to be able to have Tim Lincecum and Tim Hudson go out and spin 6 and 7 shutout innings every single time. It's ugly. You know what was ugly? I mean, I know we're going to talk about the home opener in a little bit, but during the game itself, it was so ugly. How many times they put runners on base and then couldn't do a damn thing. It's like, it sounds weird, but it looks like everybody's waiting for somebody else to do something.
It does. It seems like everybody's just kind of standing around, and I don't know if they're pressing too hard. I'm sure some of them are at this point. Some of the guys who are fighting for some playing time, some of them who are getting the opportunity to play right now because other guys like Pence and McGee are down. I think tonight is a great example, and we were just talking about it right before we started recording, but Bochy really mixed up the lineup tonight, and I don't blame him. He's trying to do anything he can to shake this lineup up. And so tonight's lineup looks like this. We have Aoki leading off, which he has been pretty much the whole season. We have Duffy, the Duff man, coming up playing third, batting second. So he knocked Panic all the way down to the eight hole tonight.
Yeah.
Right ahead of Lincecum. So that's an unusual play. I mean, he certainly didn't do that all last year with Panic, even when they were in their doldrums of their offense. So I think that's just a sign of how much he's trying to shake things up. And, of course, also in the lineup tonight, and this was more of a spring training lineup, unfortunately, you have Pagan at center field, then you have Posey at first, but then you have Justin Maxwell in right, Hector Sanchez behind the plate, who, of course, is Timmy's kind of personal catcher anyway. And then he gave Crawford a night off, and so Joaquin Arias is out there. And despite making a fantastic play tonight in the hole, I think Boch is just trying to give Crawford a day off as well, because he's been noted as is pressing a little bit. Bochy's even
Arias
said
also Crawford made is. An error that led to that fourth run.
Oh, he did. That is correct. So he didn't really redeem himself, did he?
No,
not so much. Unless it saved a run.
No.
Yes. No. So Timmy allowed what, three earned runs, I guess, tonight.
Yeah, six hits. He's still out there? No,
we got Contos. Like,
that
just
was
came
Contos.
In the game.
Yeah, that's so, right, because Blanco was pinch hitting.
So Lincecum's got three earned runs over, I think, 12 innings this year so far for a 2.25 ERA. And then, you know, that's a fine start for him. I mean, we expect it to start inflating here. He did give up that three-run bomb, and those are the three earned runs we're talking about. Three-run bomb in the first inning to Nelson Arenado.
And it was an 0-2 pitch with two outs.
Yeah.
He was just a whisper away, and Arenado went down and got that thing. It wasn't like he totally missed fat over the zone or anything.
No.
Arenado, he went down and got it.
Now you got to tip your cap to him. So, but what do you think, Eric? What do you think this team can do right now to kind of snap out of these doldrums? I know it's only 9 games, well, after tonight, 10 games into the season. So it's the equivalent of one football game on the schedule, one NFL football game on the schedule. But
true.
What are they going to do? I mean, until Pence and McGee should be back tomorrow. But is there anything that Bochy can do?
I think he's doing it with the lineup shakeup. I mean, the only person that can't be moved around right now in my mind is Nori Aoki. He needs to stay at the top of the lineup, no questions asked. And in fact, because Crawford sat tonight, Aoki is the only Giants regular to have started every game this season, which kind of surprised me. We're only 10 games in.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the way he shook it up a little tonight, I thought maybe that might do something, but we've seen Maxwell stand there like a statue. Panic still not finding his stroke. You know, other than that, there's not much else he can do. I know some guys have come in. Belt was doing some early BP work today and things like that. But it seems like a team-wide thing. And I think the only thing that's going to change it is when one or two guys get hits with runners in scoring position and it rolls over. We saw it in Arizona early on. We saw how it would steamroll when Aoki would get a hit, then Panic would get a hit, then Pagan would do something. Hitting is – my high school baseball coach used to tell me all the time, hitting is contagious.
Yeah, very much.
And it really is. It's true. You've played ball your whole life. You see it. You know, the guy in front of you gets a hit. You know, two guys in front of you get hits. You're already thinking. You've already got that kind of vibe going when you get to the box. Mm-hmm. And these guys are all strolling to the box thinking, oh, no, you know, what if I don't do it this time again? You know, and stuff like that. So it's a matter of talent and time. It really is. And that's the shame of it. This is not one of those fixable things, really. I mean, you're not going to move Buster Posey out of the number four hole in the lineup. You're not going to, you know, even Angel's doing pretty well in the three hole. It's just leaving runners on.
Yeah, we got Aoki and Pagan hitting well over 300, 385 and 343 respectively. Now, Posey's down at 226, but I mean, remember what happened last year. I think after April, he was down around 210 or something like that. And he finishes the year at 308. So we're never going to be worried about Posey.
Right.
But again, tonight they haven't left quite as many runners on base, but the first two games of this series have been absolutely insane, especially the home opener. They loaded the bases in the first two innings, then had two runners on each in the third and the fourth, and for the entire game, I think they left 15 on base. I mean, how do you leave 15 on base? That I mean, you'd think you'd sneeze on the ball and you'd score a run. You know, somewhere. You'd get lucky.
The sick part about this is if they were getting runs, and I hate to flash back to last year because I really want to look at 2015, but if they hadn't gotten runs thrown in, they might not be defending champions. They weren't necessarily always getting the job done either. When the playoff time came, they were just catching those extra breaks when other teams were making mistakes. And the bottom line is right now, this Rockies team is not making mistakes.
No, in fact, they've been making some spectacular plays. Of course, last night we had a couple runs taken away. We had Arenado with probably the catch of the year so far. That might hang on as one of the top catches of the entire year. I mean, that was that was better than Jeter's catch into the stands, I thought, because he was going full speed, knowing that tarp was coming up. And when you see him catch that ball, and in one step, his legs are getting cut out from underneath of him by that tarp, and his legs flip up, he kind of does a little somersault, pops up on his knees on top of the tarp, and throws third base, and almost gets the guy out tagging up. That was an absolute insane play. So, yeah, the Rockies are playing very well. And I think that's a great point. I didn't even think about that. That was kind of the catchphrase last year, and I guess that was Tim Flannery who coined that, huh?
Yeah.
And it was runs thrown in. And you're absolutely right. They always claimed it, and I'm not saying this is not true, that the Giants kind of put pressure on the defense. And they did. They did with bunts and a couple other things like that. But, you know, putting pressure on the defense, if it's putting the ball in play, okay, fine. They were doing that. And the other team did, you know, the Nationals did it. The Cardinals did it. The Royals didn't do it so much, but they did fold under that pressure. And it was something, I think, in the first two series, wasn't it, like 15 or 16 runs or something like that?
It was some crazy number.
Via, you know, error or whatever. I mean, that was
or infield ground out or sacrifice flies,
all those kinds of
things. Little things like that,
But you're absolutely right. I think if a couple of those games kind of followed the playoffs, the same suit as the playoffs from last year, I mean, they would have two or three wins in this stretch. But instead, the other teams locked it down, and they haven't been able to sniff more than a run a game over this losing streak.
That's what's going to happen when one team is playing good baseball and the other team in this moment in time, it happens to be the Giants, are playing crappy baseball. Then the team that's playing good baseball is going to win. I mean, the Rockies are, what are they, like seven? They're 6-2. So they didn't like win, you know, all those games, four games before they came into town on accident.
Right.
You know, I mean, granted, they played the Brewers to start the season, but and then the Cubs took 2 out of 3 from them. Okay, that's forget my argument. But, you know, that's the thing, though, is they're playing good. The Giants aren't playing good. And it just it exacerbates itself. We see it. It's just so glaring. You know, tonight, like after Colorado Arenado hit that 3-run homer tonight, like you could see Twitter collectively go, ah, crap, here we go again, you know, and nobody expects anything right now. Nobody expects a damn thing. The problem is Aoki's getting on base. He's only scored 4 runs. The guy's been on base like 22 times and he's only scored 4 runs. So I don't know how much more you mix up the middle of the order. But remember, I mean, like we talked about, a belt's not in there tonight. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Crawford's better down at the 8-hole, but it's just they're getting outplayed right now, and if you don't make mistakes and the other team doesn't, then you're going to lose.
And unfortunately, I think most people, experts and even Giants fans and even Giants broadcasters were saying that the offense looks like it's going to struggle this year because of the power outage, losing Morse and Panda and those kind of guys. And look, our podcast is called TortureCast for a reason, you know? It was coined back in 2010 because of all the close games they were playing. Every game was torture. And last season was no exception. But I think this year there was a little bit more of a glaring hole in the offense on paper. And I think everybody was very concerned because most people assume that, okay, let's give the Giants the same or close to pitching performances they had last year. And of course, there are many questions about the pitching, but let's put that aside for right now. Let's just assume the pitching can duplicate what they did last year. The offense most likely is not going to. And so they're not going to win as many games unless they play that fundamental ball and they play super clean defense and the pitching can tighten it up a little bit. And that is so much pressure to put on all facets of the game. But I think offense, that's what they have to do. They have to rely more on the hit and runs. They have to rely more on hitting the ball into the gap. They have to be taking more pitches, trying to work walks. They have to do whatever they can to get on base because they are not going to, you know, they got to get them on, get them over, get them in. They can't get 2 ducks on and hit one over the fence. That's not going to happen. And it's just rearing its ugly head right now. It's one of those things where every team goes through several slumps, minimum. Even the best teams go through several slumps throughout the year. We know what the Giants did last year. Went 42-21 to start the season. They were like 9 games up on the Dodgers. Everybody was like, holy shit, they're going to run away with the division.
I thought they were.
I mean, you knew they couldn't play 667 ball the rest of the way. But they were looking like a 100-win team. They were on pace to win whatever, 120, you know, but it was like, oh, these guys might win 100. You know, we can do what they did in 93 when they didn't even make the playoffs that year, when they won 103. But then, you know, the swoons came, and of course they had that two-month period where they literally were the worst team in baseball. But they had that incredible start from being the best team in baseball to kind of buoy them up, and then they kind of finished September on a high note, just squeaked in with the wild card. This year, clearly they're not going to start the season 42-21. You know, they're just not. I mean, they would have to play ridiculous ball now to get to 42 wins before 21 losses. So I think we have to assume at this point, you know, they got to right the ship here. You don't want these losing streaks to start out at the beginning of the year. You want to kind of get a good steam you know, head of steam going into the season before you start kind of tripping for a 10-game stretch. But when you start like this, I think there's a little bit more of a magnifying glass when you look up the record. It's not 42 and 27 after you've lost six in a row, right? It's 3-7. And it's just like, oh, it's a gut punch. And I think it can affect a lot of these players who they're starting out the season this way. You're digging yourself a hole, and now you got to dig yourself completely out of it. And that's going to be hard.
Yeah, it was exemplified right there. Exemplified right there. There was an example just now of Buster hitting into a double play. And it, you know, I just saw a tweet go by my timeline from Bags. Gregor Blanco is the only guy to hit an extra base hit in this entire series against the Rockies.
That was the triple he hit, huh?
Yeah, and he hit a double the other day. He yanked one down the line with one out on opening day, and then he got stranded there, of course. But you can't score without extra base hits. We're 9, 18, plus another 6. So what is that? 24 innings into this series, and the Giants have 2 extra base hits.
And there goes Maxwell reaching for one. Oh, my God, he actually dunked it, though. That was actually a horrible at-bat by Maxwell. He just got freaking lucky there.
His butt went one way and the ball went the other.
Exactly. You see his hips going back out behind him. He just threw his hands way out there, and he got lucky, got a dunk. That's another good point you bring up. It's not just get him on, get him over, get him in. They got to rely on some gap. They got to hit more extra base hits because they're not going to have the home run. So you need a couple extra bases thrown in there, especially with what's been going on with this series, putting so many guys on base. If you take one of those guys that got on base or two of those guys for an entire game that had gotten a single, and if you change that into a double, suddenly it's 2 runs, you know, one of those kinds of things. So those really can be magnified in a game where you're leaving so many runners on base. And it's just bad.
Yeah, it's part of why they're in the hole.
Well,
but hey,
yeah, let's talk about something a little bit more positive.
Exactly. I was gonna say, let's talk about happy things.
So there's nothing like a home opener, man. I mean, I know there's opening day, but I think you kind of put it well in your tweet. You said, you know, it's a home opener. It's like second opening day. It's like we're doing this all over again.
Yeah, and there's something for real.
Yeah, there's something fresh and fun about it. It's fun seeing AT&T Park with the bunting and all the pomp and circumstance and just the excitement in the air. Even though neither of us were actually there, we were both watching it on TV. I was working from home on Monday, so it was a treat for me to just have the TV on while I was working away. But the pregame ceremonies were fantastic. It's something that Giants fans are definitely getting spoiled with. It's definitely something the Giants staff has now has a pretty good blueprint on how to do. And it's funny.
That's a good point.
Now it's the third time. They're like, all right, what can we do different this year? How can we mix it up? So, of course, the main thing that everybody knew was going to happen was raising the flag. In 2010, we had Brian Wilson run out to center field and put it up. 2012, we had the fire guys come over and give it to some of the team. The team gave it to some fans, a group of fans, season ticket holders, whatever. They put it up. It was upside down, by the way, when they started to raise it up. It was kind of funny.
Oh, wow.
And this year, they kind of started out the ceremonies with the center field gates opening and who coming out, but Timmy, Buster, and Bochy holding each of the trophies, which
that
is pretty
was fantastic.
Sweet.
Yeah,
I love seeing that.
That was really sweet.
Yeah, that was a pretty long stroll all the way from center field to third base line. So.
Yep. and it's a great nod. It's a great nod to Timmy by the organization.
I thought it was too, because they could have chosen, what, four other guys, I guess? Five other guys that have been with the team for all three? But they chose him, which I thought was a good move, was a classy move, because I think they do. I think everybody knows, unless something weird happens this year, this is probably going to be his last year in the Giants uniform.
I felt like we said that 2 years ago, and then he came back. So
yeah, they did. They did have a 2-year extension for him, but I do think this time it's probably run its course. But there was that, and of course they had the introductions. They had a nice in memoriam, and you know, showed guys who had passed away this year. Of course, it ended with Lon Simmons, but also Wendell Kim and others. So that was kind of a touching tribute. Apparently, there weren't too many dry eyes in the park from a lot of the people that were
tweeting
out.
I believe it. I don't want to like degrade that portion, but it felt like the Academy Awards suddenly broke out in the middle of this championship.
I know, right? I know, because they always have the in memoriam.
Yeah, and the list goes on, and you're like, how many people in one organization can die in 1 year?
It was kind of shocking to see all the Giants, like event staff and catering and security and kind of just their own staff. I was like, Jesus, how many did like Ebola strike them? What the hell happened? You know. But
sorry, I totally
not trying to make fun. There. No. It's all good. But then, of course, I think everybody, because of what happened or didn't happen in the World Series parade, is Mad Bum wanted to ride a horse, but they wouldn't let him. They wouldn't let him down Market Street or even a small portion of the parade. Obviously, with the rain and you know, with worrying about a horse being spooked and getting bucked and all those things. I get it. But he did express an interest. So I think a lot of people kind of assumed, including myself, that today was going to be the day, or that day was going to be the day, and he was going to be able to ride a horse, even for a little bit. And right when you saw those police horses come out, you knew it was going to happen.
Yeah, and you did.
Sure enough, Bochy comes out with the flag, I guess it was the police officer gave it to Bochy, and then Matt gave it to Mad Bum, and the Mad Bum got on one of the horses that a police officer dismounted from, and didn't trot, just kind of sauntered and walked down to center field.
I thought they did pick up to a trot towards the end of it a little bit.
It was more than a walk, but it wasn't quite a full trot. And apparently he wanted to trot all the way from home plate to center field. That was his original request. But the Giants staff said, "Nah, we'll meet you halfway. We're going to start in left field." Plus they tested out the horses on the field and it was ripping up the grass, so they had to keep them on the warning track. But they could have gone around the entire field itself. But yeah, they passed it off.
And you see how he mounted that horse like it was nothing.
Oh,
like he does it every day.
Well, and we all know that, you know, he's obviously a country boy and he rides horses and chops wood and wears jeans and hangs out with Games of Thrones actors, whatever. But yeah, he's 6'4". He just swung that leg over like it was nothing. Trotted over to Matt Cain, leaned over the fence, gave him the flag, and it was a nice nod to – there are 8 current Giants that have been here for all 3 World Championships. And, of course, Mad Bum was 1, but the other 7 accompanied the flag up to the center field pole and raised it, so that was pretty cool.
It was like the Giants saying, "You don't think it's a dynasty? Look at these guys who keep doing it. It's a dynasty."
Yeah, I mean, it speaks to it where basically a third of the team – has been here for all 3. That's pretty neat, you know, and that's over 5 years. So at least some of the core has definitely been here throughout. And I think that speaks to at least hope for the future, but that remains to be seen after the first week of performance for this team.
It's just funny though, because besides Buster, it's all pitchers.
That's right. No, they said he's the only position player out of the 8.
Yeah, he
That's
is.
Right. Because Panda was the other one when it was 9. Because it was 9 at the end of the year. But then, of course, when he signed, that no longer existed. So, yeah, Buster's the only position. And it just sucks because they had just come off, you know, this road trip where they lost the last few. And it was like, all right, they're 3-4, 3-5 coming home. 3-5, I guess. It's like, let's right the ship against the lowly Rockies. We got the World Series stuff going on, all the pomp and circumstance. Everybody's just geared up and ready to go, and then wah, wah, wah. They get shut out after leaving, 15 runners on base. And it was just such a wet blanket, man.
Yeah, and it was a gut punch.
That was their first home opener that they've lost since 2008. They've won every one since 2009. So it really was kind of a, yeah. But what are you going to do? It is what it is. So do you think – we talked a little bit about this, but do you think Pence and McGee are going to really help that much? I mean, I'm excited about Pence. I'm still not so sold on McGee. I think he can still – he's proven to be a 280 hitter and knocked in 74 runs last year. So he's done it before, but there's something about his body language I'm not so sure right now.
Yeah, I'm not sold on him either. It's in the field and at the plate. There's just something that I can't quite put my finger on it.
Yeah, me
but
neither.
He seems like that guy that might just be a bench player, and he's had a couple of good years. Granted, this guy had to go to Japan to prove himself again, and the Giants love a reclamation project.
Yes, they do.
But I think when Pence comes back, it's going to lengthen the lineup a little bit, and I think that's what's going to help it out. more than anything else in the world. Because, you know, when you have to run through Posey, Pence, and Belt all at the same time, that's a little harder than having to run through Posey, Belt, and Sanchez, or
sure.
Posey, Belt, and McGee. You know, it just – it doesn't – it's not imposing. It's not scary. I mean, the jury is still out on him, and now that he's hurt, I still don't understand how that's a bone bruise. I mean, the guy just suddenly stopped like he tweaked something. And my understanding of a bone bruise is it's like a deep bruise. I had one when I got hit by a baseball when I was umpiring one time. And I didn't understand how he could have gotten that, but apparently that's what it was. I'm not sold. I think Pence has to lengthen the lineup out because that also moves Pagan out of the three spot. And you can put Pagan maybe – and he might not be thrilled with this, but you could put Pagan down at like the seven spot, or you can put him at the number two slot maybe.
Or the number two
and
slot,
have, yeah. Yeah, this is something I never even thought about doing before the season started. But now that Aoki has established that he's good in the leadoff role, I can see an Aoki, Pagan, Pence, Posey to start it off.
Yeah.
And I think it would stretch the lineup out a little bit more. I mean, because like you said, there's not a lot of offense on this club, and you can't like stick it all in one corner. It's got to be spread out a little bit more. And Pence is the answer. I don't think McGee is. If the Giants can stay around 500 until Pence comes back, we're going to see them go on a tear when Pence comes back. I think he's going to give the club a shot in the arm.
Yeah.
I think we're all kind of expecting that. But if guys like Aoki can continue this, and if guys like Posey can actually start hitting the ball to a gap and things like that, and they kind of maintain it a little bit, then I think they'll be all right. But if when Pence comes back, they're still having these kind of struggles, this season is going to suck.
And he hasn't even started swinging the bat, by the way. He's
he
got
swung a wiffle ball bat.
A wiffle ball bat. That's
he did. He swung a wiffle ball bat today.
I forgot about the wiffle ball bat. But yeah, he's got to proceed from swinging a bat to swinging on a tee to doing things like soft toss in the batting cage, then to finally going to live pitching. And in this process, they say, takes at least 2 to 3 weeks. At least.
Yeah.
So, I mean, earliest indications are that the earliest date he can be back is probably May 1st. But I swear they need him now. They need him right now.
Yeah,
we were hoping that they could kind of, you know, maybe float around 500 until he could return. And it's not that that's out of the question. The Giants could, you know, if they lose their six in a row tonight, it's not like they can't win seven out of their next 10 and kind of get back closer up to 500. It is the beginning of the season, but not looking so good right now. I wanted to talk to you about Chris Heston. Now, this guy has come in, and I think he's 27 years old. And apparently he can get in upwards of 93, 94 miles an hour, but he chooses to always back it down to 89 to 91 because he obviously relies on movement and deception with his sinker and his curve. But he really opened up the Giants' eyes during spring training, especially with that one outing against the Dodgers with a bunch of strikeouts against some of the main big guys. He was given the nod, of course, to replace Matt Cain when he went on the DL, which we don't even need to talk about that because I'm a little scared about forearm tightness and what that could potentially mean down the road. I'm not sure if he's really going to come back as soon as they think he might come back. But he had a wonderful first outing in Arizona, got his first major league win. I think he went 7 innings or was it 6 innings? It was one of the two.
I think he went 6 in the first one.
But it was shutout ball. It was fantastic. And then he got the home opener. And so he's got all the adrenaline and kind of the pressure going on him and everything. But he gave up 2-7. And that's not a bad day at all. And most of the time, he looked absolutely fantastic. Bochy has now been quoted yesterday that he absolutely loves Heston's stuff. I listen to Murph and Mac, our local radio station here on KNBR every morning. And at 7:40, they always have Krook or Kipe on. Krook's on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Kipe's on Tuesday, Thursday. And Krook the other day, they asked him, they said, hey, look, what's going to happen with Heston, man? They're carrying 13 pitchers right now instead of 12, and they might eventually, you know, shave it down to 12. And then Kane's going to come back. What's Heston? Where is he going? I mean, why fix something that ain't broken? And Krook said right away, oh, he's not going anywhere. And they said, you really think so? Krook said, oh, yeah, he's not going anywhere. He's in the rotation right now.
Yeah, he is.
Even when King comes back. And so, and I agree with that. I mean, he's two fantastic starts. Why send him down? So we talked a little bit. We just brushed the surface of this before we started recording. But when Kane does come off the DL, clearly he's going to be put on the roster, assuming there aren't further problems with his forearm or anything else. You're the GM. What's the move you make?
I find some phantom injury and put Jake Peavy on the DL. I can't. He's driving me crazy. And if there's some guys got to get bumped, to me, it's got to be him. Lincecum has looked pretty good in his two starts now that his second one is completed here today. I mean, he gave up the three-run homer in the first, and he had the one unearned run later in the game. But other than that, Lincecum pretty much staying around the plate, finding his stuff. Peavy's the guy you got to yank out of the rotation if it comes to that. But like you said, Kane might not be back for – a while. I know what they say. I'm with you, but I mean, he might be on a 60-day DL before we even know it.
Yeah, it's a little scary because they say sometimes that's related to tendon issues or ligament issues with Tommy John. Yeah. But apparently, the MRI said the ligaments were clean and no problem. But I the jury's still out. Anyway,
yeah. But
we'll
cross Heston
that bridge later.
Heston is – apparently he gained a bunch of weight in the offseason. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was from working – I assume it was from working out. I don't think he just sat around.
Yeah, it's from double doubles and some chocolate shakes. Yeah,
he was having the Pablo diet. But he apparently Heston bulked up a little bit. And like you said, he's added a little bit of life on the fastball, but he does keep it dialed down as long as he can, you know, locate and use his movement. If he can develop just one really good out pitch – then he's going to stay for a little bit. And it blows my mind. This is my favorite little fact about Chris Heston. You said it, he's 27 years old. He just turned 27 years old, like 2 days after his first start. He's older than Mad Bum.
Isn't that odd?
That's crazy.
And he just got
and we're like calling him the kid. And here we're talking about Madison Bumgarner riding a horse. And we're calling Heston the kid, like not just now, but you know what I mean? It's so unbelievable how baseball is.
Should say the
and
rook, Heston, right?
Yeah, fair enough. I like him. I don't want him to go anywhere. Bochy said it. It was a shot in the arm.
Yeah.
And he is like a shot in the arm to this ball club right now because they are dead. I love Heston though. I want him to stay in the rotation. Hopefully he'll still continue to have good outings. I hope when teams see him for a second or a third time that they don't figure out the book on him. I hope he is smart enough to keep himself at this level.
Yeah, to keep it mixed up. Do you know when Kane is scheduled to come off the DL? I don't have a date in front of me. I know it's 15-day DL and it was probably at least a week ago. No, my question is because I was curious. Obviously PV has at least one more start before King comes off the DL. I'm curious if he has two more scheduled starts, because, I'm kind of with you with the way that Peavy's been performing in his limited action in his one start so far.
Just one start, yeah.
But that being said, we'll get a larger sample size here if he gets torched around a little bit his next two starts, and I would think that would be the move.
Yeah, the thing with Peavy is, and I'm going to check the DL thing. The thing with Peavy is, I don't know. I had it, and it's not on the notes today.
That's okay. We know he has at least one more start, maybe two before.
Yeah, because Peavy's scheduled to start, because Bum goes tomorrow, and then Peavy's scheduled to start Friday.
Correct.
But the thing with Peavy is I know we've talked about how spring training, throughout the numbers, yada, 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 yada. But with Peavy, oh, there it is. April 19th is his eligibility for Matt Cain to come off. Peavy looked like crap during spring training. Forget about the numbers. He just looked like crap. Mm-hmm. Everything was staying up in the zone. No, he wasn't fooling anybody. And I think it just carried over. I don't think that there's – I think that arm for 2 long years is just tired.
Well, you know, he last year it was funny because he was getting torched in Boston until he was traded to the Giants, and it was like a shot in the arm for him because he ended up having a sub-3 ERA during his stint, you know, with the Giants for the rest of the year, and I kind of turned my head and I was like, well, wow, this maybe he's just a National League kind of guy and he's in a pitcher's park and he's back with Bochy, his former manager, and all these things were going on, so there was a little bit of hope instilled in me despite the playoff. I mean, he was good for one playoff performance, I guess.
Yeah, he was. If he doesn't win that game one against the Nats, we're not talking about a championship.
Well, exactly. He definitely contributed to the Giants, and if they didn't trade for Peavy last year, they don't make the playoffs. So he obviously has been valuable to the Giants, but yeah, I was kind of hoping that maybe he's going to start off this year kind of like he ended last year, and it remains to be seen. It's one start. Let's not jump ahead of ourselves, but I agree with you. It's not just looking at the numbers, it's looking at his location, his body language, his mechanics, and there's just something that seems off with him I can't put my finger on it. Just like McGee, there's just something that seems a little off about it. And we're no experts, but it's just kind of a feeling that I think we both are simpatico on. We're just things aren't aligning for them. But
I mean, your eyes tell you certain things, and you can just see it. He's not the Jake Peavy he was the second half of last year.
Yeah, yeah, and they need the guy. I mean, obviously, if Heston comes in and they have a healthy Kane, that's going to mitigate that issue. But I agree with you. I think unless Peavy goes out and rocks his next start, I think Heston comes off, or when Kane comes off the DL, they put Kane into Peavy's spot or vice versa, whatever, with Heston. So
I'll tell you the thing that Peavy, I'm seeing him not do, and this was indicative of setting up that grand slam off that he gave up to Will Nieves on Sunday.
Yeah.
He's not finishing off the batters.
No.
He's getting a guy in a 1-2, 0-2 count, and then suddenly he starts to nibble and he starts to dance a little bit. And I don't understand that from a veteran pitcher. I can totally see that from a kid. I could see that from Chris Heston because he's a kid and he's trying to establish himself. But Jake Peavy, the man's won a Cy Young Award. You would think he had that instinct, that not just the instinct, but that thing to finish off hitters, and he doesn't seem to have that right now. He totally pitched himself into trouble. There was like two at bats of the runners that got on base that before the grand slam where he had guys down 1-2, 0-2, and then he walked them.
Yep.
And that's the ugliness. That's what's really rearing its head. That's where I see that it's like something's totally off here if he can't finish anything off.
Yeah, and it's very similar to Peavy is Vogie. You know, he's been torched in every single outing he's had out there. Well, I guess it's only two or three, but he had the start and he had the long relief, and he is just same thing. He's been elevated. He hasn't been finishing batters off. There's been a couple of 0-2 or two out three-run bombs in that one game. It's two three-run bombs, both with two outs, and those are the kind of situations, and he admitted afterwards. He said, I think that was the game they scored, I don't know, whatever, six runs and lost or something like that. 7-6, I think.
Yeah.
And it was like, hey, man, when my offense scores six runs, we got to win this game. That's all on me. I made two mistakes. Yeah. And that's how small of a margin of error some of these guys have to deal with. You know, you got a guy down to two strikes and two outs with a couple of guys on, and you give up a gopher ball, and it hurts. It hurts so bad. And I think Peavy's kind of there right now, too, with his grand slam. That was just a gut punch. You're thinking he's going to get out of the inning, and he just can't. He can't nail it down. Unlike, again, the playoffs, the Giants' magical playoff tenacity is not exhibiting itself during the regular season right now. All right. Well, I think we're going to wrap it up here pretty soon. We got a couple of segments left. Looking ahead, we got four more games here on this homestand against the Diamondbacks. They start tomorrow night. I'm going to be in the press box actually on Saturday, and I'm pretty excited about that because it's going to be the ring ceremony, and I haven't had an opportunity to attend that the previous two times that's happened. So I think it's going to be kind of a special night. Again, pomp and circumstance and a distraction for the players perhaps, but in the end, it's one of these things I think the Giants as an organization, they have to do these things. I hear some people complain about it like, oh, it distracts the players and da-da. It's like,
oh,
look,
no.
This is special, man, and the players don't hate it. I mean, yeah, they can potentially be distracted. They're professionals. They know how to turn it on and turn it off. It's nice to just sit back. I mean, Posey said, hey, this is the third time I'm actually going to try and sit back and enjoy this one because he's usually warming up the pitcher in the bullpen during all the ceremony crap. But this is something I think you just have to take a step back and appreciate because, again, you don't know if and when this is ever going to happen again. It could be this year, could be 2 years from now, another even year, could be another 54 years. We don't know. So I think this is great what the Giants are doing. I think they really know how to do it. So I'm pretty excited about going. So look for a bunch of tweeting that night from the
Not only are you going, you get to cover it in the press box. So that will be a very, very cool experience for you.
That will be very, very awesome. All right, so we're going to bring back a couple of segments we have during the regular season we didn't have during the off season. One of them is Tweet at Me, Bruh. And I got one from Henry Schulman, who tweeted out during the game tonight. And if any of you were watching the game, Pagan made a couple of pretty damn good defensive plays out in center field. The second one where he streaked back, reached over his head, and caught it. He said, quote, "The effort is there, folks, even if the results seem a long way off. #ThatPagan catch. I think he's just trying – because, you know, look, these beat writers, they get just inundated and berated with just a flood of tweets from people you know. I mean, and it's – you only see the people that you follow who tweet these beat guys. They're getting flooded with 100 times more and probably even more than that, especially from some of the trolls, which I know they eventually block a lot of these people. But point being, they hear it. They hear it from the fans. And so I think that's just kind of a direct response to, like, look, these guys are trying. They really are trying. It's not like for lack of effort. Just the results aren't being produced right now. I mean, look at this guy, you know, who's always prone to injuries. He's sprinting all over center field, catching everything. They're trying hard, but it's just not clicking. And sometimes that, as they always say, that's baseball, right? Sometimes everything, you could be doing everything right, nothing happens. Another game, you could throw your bat at a ball and you get a bloop double. I mean, it's just, that's baseball. So hopefully things start clicking for him.
It's a lot of moving parts at once.
It is. All right, you got a funny one.
My tweet at me, bro. If I don't know, it came about. People have been hearing about it, and it finally came out. I believe it was 2 days ago now. Let's see. Yes, 2 days ago now. You mentioned Murph. I know Murph did a book called Champion Blood or Championship Blood. And
I just got it yesterday, by the way.
Yes, the photographer for that book is Brad Mangin. I don't know if it's Mangin or Mangin. Brad, if you happen to listen to us, sorry, I probably mangled your name. But there had been rumors about Matt Duffy's giant cat, and Brad had been kind of teasing it for a little bit, saying, you know, I'll share it. And he shared a tweet, and the tweet reads, but you really got to see it to do it justice, and I think Chad's going to include it with the show notes stuff. Matt Duffy of the Giants plays Call of Duty with family cat Skeeter, his tactical field advisor, and the photo is by Tom Duffy. And it is literally a picture of Matt Duffy chilling back with headphones on playing Call of Duty and a gigantic fat cat sitting next to him. And I mean, this cat is huge. Like, you worry about its health, huge.
I heard a rumor that this cat is 40 pounds.
I wouldn't be surprised.
It's not verified, but looking at the photo, I think that's a good possibility.
Yeah, go check our Twitter account. We retweeted it as well from the TortureCast account. It is just – it's absolutely hilarious. And like, it's so much so that like SB Nation and everybody out there is picking it up, you know what I mean, and writing little short stories so they can get the clicks off of it as well and things like that. It is so funny. Oh, it is. It is. And justifiably so.
But
who doesn't want to see the giant fat cat, right?
It's not like, you won't believe what he said about her. And you're like, what? Oh, I'm going to click that.
Right.
All right. So on to – oh, yeah. I'm going to share that photo, by the way. That's going to be the blog header with proper photo credit by Tom Duffy. Is that his brother or father? Do you have any idea?
I assume it's his brother. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
Does he have a wiki yet?
I would assume brother. Just, you know, usually parents are not as technically savvy. All right, so on to our new favorite guy. I'm going to go with Chris Heston. We obviously talked about him. He's been fantastic in his first two starts, 27-year-old guy who's younger or older than Madison Bumgarner, as you point out. Pretty amazing. But looks like he might stick around for a little while, at least for the month of April and maybe into May. So he's my new guy. What about you, Eric?
Oh, mine is Nori Aoki. I am totally – I'm like over the moon enamored with this guy. I didn't think I'd like him that much. I was very, very skeptical because he just – he was the guy that the Royals sat on the bench during the World Series. So in my mind, you know, oh my God, this guy stinks. But he's been a breath of fresh air. I mean, coming into tonight, he's had a hit in every game. He actually has a career-best 17-game hitting streak going on right now. Mm-hmm. So dating back to last season, he's 0-for-2 tonight. So hopefully he's leading off here in the bottom of the eighth. Hopefully he'll get another
one. He's got one more shot, yeah.
And he has just – he's my new favorite guy. He's going to be my new favorite guy. He's like for the rest of the season. He's my favorite new guy as well as my new favorite guy.
Nah, he's been great because, you know, he had a very, very slow spring, as we all know, and there were some rumblings about it again, spring training. But the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 games, he suddenly just turned it on in spring training. And so I think he's just carrying whatever he switched on or changed, or he said, I'm going to start hitting now. But he's definitely carried that into the season. In fact, he is up right now, so we'll give you a completely recorded live update of how if he extends his hitting streak, which I'm sure you'll know by the time you're listening to this. All right, so why should we hate this guy? Like you said, it's probably too early to start hating our guys, and we're usually good about that, except you kind of have someone related to the team, so why don't you share that?
Oh, I totally – this goes along the lines of me talking about PV earlier, and I'm not going to say Sabian. I'm just going to say whoever signed Jake PV for 2 years. He's getting $9 million this year and $13 million next year.
Yeah.
Wait, is that right?
That's I think 20... it was 22 or 23 over 2. I can't remember.
Oh, God, it's like 24. I think it's like 9 and 15. Oh, my gosh.
That's right, it's 24 because I thought it was an average of 12. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's an average of 12, but I know he's only getting like 9 1 year and more the next year. Whoever signed Peavy for 2 years, that's – it's my new favorite. We should hate this guy because I can't stand it. I don't think he's going to last in the rotation this year. I don't think he might not even be on the team by the end of the season.
Oh, that's how. Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah, that's how bad I see it. I can't see him accepting a demotion. I can see him getting outright released. I can't. I just.
Oh, no. Guys like that do not get sent down to AAA. That's not what happens. Yeah, that's not
what
happens.
They get released, and then some other team will pick them up, pay them the minimum while the Giants are footing the bill for the rest. And yeah. I can see that happening, or I can see him ending up on the DL for a long time. I don't know. Maybe PV will turn around and surprise me. But at the moment, whoever signed PV for 2 years, I hate that guy.
Maybe he can be trade bait, even if he's not doing so hot. But for me.
Yeah, but then the Giants would have to suck.
Yeah. Well, that's true. We don't want him in that position. But I'm just thinking about if they want to get rid of the guy, even for some dumpy single-A prospects. and they're willing to pay half his salary for the next 2 years to whoever takes him. And what if it's someone that's just desperate for a fifth starter because, you know, they're trying to sneak in there. But the Giants are like, no, he's tainted, man. We don't need him. All right. So the last segment that we typically do, and it was really cool because last year we were able to say why we won it all, not why will we win it all. And so this is the first time we've done this since that segment in our championship episode. By the way, if you guys want a nice long road trip podcast to listen to, I'd really, really recommend you go back and listen to episode 77. This is, by the way, I forgot to mention, this is episode 83, not including all of our bonus episodes, of course. We probably have closer to 100. But that was a fantastic 3-hour audiobook of absolute just joy and elation exhibited by all of us. So it was just fantastic. So go back and listen to that. In fact, I might go back in the middle of June when the Giants are 20 games under 500 just to relive that. Oh, we got Duffman. Duffman. Duffman has left the yard. How about
that? Oh, really?
That? Yeah.
That's awesome.
All right. So, by the way, Aoki.
Yeah, I'm. For those that don't know, I watch on MLB TV. So I'm a couple pitches behind everybody all the time.
Yeah,
it makes it very difficult to use TweetDeck.
And Aoki, of course, unfortunately, he was retired, so his hitting streak is now officially over. But Duffman has come through with the bomb. So
Duffy,
it's cut the lead to 4-2. But the Giants only have 5 outs left in which to work with.
Yeah, but who knows? Maybe they'll send it to extras, and then he'll extend his hitting streak.
Yeah, they got the meat of the lineup coming up. So
I'm always so damn positive. I still think that they've got.
A bloop and a blast, and it's tied. Or
exactly,
two guys on and a double. Whatever. I mean, any combination. We got the meat of the lineup coming up here. We got Pagan and Posey. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and lead this off, and I'm just too pessimistic at this point to talk about logistical reasons on why they can win this all or any magical reasons. I'm just going to say they won't if they keep this up. So I'm going to go with the negative statement
there.
That's totally fair. So Pagan singled the center field, so Posey is going to be coming up here as the tying run with one out.
I'm pretty sure they're going to make a pitching change then.
Yeah, because they got a lefty right now, so they're going to go to a righty.
Yep, that was his first career home run for Matt Duffy.
Yeah, and that was by a lot.
Yeah, like he's shown some pop.
He sent it way back. Duffy, he was actually, when I was typing up the notes, I put him originally in as my new favorite guy. I just like the way this guy plays. There's something about him, the exact opposite of McGee. I like his swagger and his confidence and just his mechanics. But
he carries himself like he belongs.
Yeah, and he is a great guy. We got to interview him last year. I think his second game up in the big leagues, and I'll still remember. It's so funny because I remember Blanco was the hero. He had the game-winning RBI, but earlier Matt Duffy had knocked in the tying run with a double, and that was his first, you know, big major league moment, aside from his first hit or his first game. And so he's just over in the corner, just unassuming, just kind of getting ready, packing his stuff up and whatever. And I looked at Willie and I was like, hey, let's go talk to him. We went over and he's like, hey, Matt, can we ask you a few questions? And he looks up and he goes, me? You want to ask me questions? It was really cool because he was just like super excited that someone from the media wanted to talk to him because this was like his second game. And so, yeah, we asked some questions about just the experience and being able to contribute and everything like that. So I kind of liked him from the beginning, his personality and everything. So I think he's going to fit in well with this team, and I think he's going to be on the roster for the whole season. All right, so why are we going to win it all, Eric?
I think because the Giants are just lulling everybody to sleep right now before they make their run come May and June. I'm grasping at straws.
You're getting sleepy.
And I'm totally grasping at straws. But, I mean, that's the only thing that I can think of.
Gonna lull them to sleep before we strike.
Yeah, that's, I mean, the only way it's going to happen because – if they don't get it together within this first month, yeah, the season doesn't have to be lost, but they don't strike me as a team that's going to play from behind all that great. So they are just lulling everyone to sleep before they make their run. That's why they'll win it all, and I won't crap on them past that.
Yeah, now when you have teams like the Dodgers and maybe the Padres, if they look as good as on paper, you know, like you said, they can't play from too far behind because they're going to have to play outrageous baseball to catch up to those teams if they're playing up to their level of ability. So, all right. So I think that's going to about do it for episode 83. Thanks for listening to the Torchcast. You can find all of our podcasts and articles at torchcast.com. And Eric, you've been writing a lot lately for Torchcast, and they're very, very good articles. Eric is certainly a talented writer. I will say it right now. He's better than the other three of us. Of course, the other two don't write, so who am I kidding? He's better than me. So I encourage you to check out his latest articles on torchcast.com as well. You can follow us collectively
too
on
kind.
Twitter. No, seriously, you're a good writer. I enjoy your writing. You can follow us collectively on Twitter at Torchcast. You can also like us over on Facebook. We're very close to 1,000 likes, by the way. So push
thanks.
Us on over on to 1,000 to 1K there. You can also follow us individually. I'm at ChadK21. Eric is at 2OutHits. That's with the number 2, by the way. The absent Willie is at Willie Dills. And our friend down under, Ben, he's vacationing in Australia.
Hi, Ben, if you listen.
Hi, Ben. You can follow him at Fried Duck. And apparently he's receiving all of his tweets upside down. So I think he has to turn his phone the other way. So shoot him a couple of good day mates and shrimp on the Barbie tweets for him just to be completely pathetic. But that's about it. Anything else, Eric, you want to pimp?
No, I got nothing. I'm doing a weekly that thing I did Sunday night with the good, the bad, and what's next. That's mm-hmm. going to be a weekly feature on TortureCast from now on.
That's great.
And then I've got some general baseball stuff over on Two Out Hots.
That's your porn site that you run, right? You're in the penis of the United States. What are you talking about? Come on.
Oh, I could find him if I wanted to. The drugs of the earth are around here. 2OutHits.com. That's more of a general MLB scope. That's kind of what I decided to do this season because I'm watching a whole lot of baseball. So if you want to read about other teams and other things that are going on, I'm also doing, you know, a couple things a week over there. I don't have the time to do it all, but you know, like with TortureCast, I'm trying to get something up, you know, a couple times a week.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. So thanks a lot for listening to episode 83. For the absent Willie and Ben, and for Eric, this is Chad signing off. Boom.
A big thank you to everybody for listening to the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter at TortureCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at torturecast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying we'll see you next time.